You are listening to Wells Tech, episode 559, recorded on July 25th, 2018. Upgrading yourself. Wells Tech is a weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is a part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. We are so happy you decided to join us. Today, we continue our discussion of Eat That Frog, book by Brian Tracy on productivity, setting vision, and executing on your plan and objectives. Chapter 11 and 12 this week, upgrading your key skills and identifying your key constraints. Sally brings her pick to the table. It's one of her favorite applications, Trello, but she's found some great Chrome extensions, which she absolutely loves, and I think you will too. I'm talking about GoodSync in my pick of the week, a way to synchronize or back up your stuff from one location to another. We have great feedback and a whole lot more. Thanks for tuning in. We're coming right up. We're back at Wells Tech again. Joining me, as usual, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally, how are you?
I'm great, Martin. How are you today?
Excellent. I've heard you've moved a state north. You've crossed over the border of Ohio into the friendly confines of the great state of Michigan. What parts of Michigan are you frequenting these days?
We're in the Detroit area, enjoying a sunny day. Looking forward to a maker fair at the Henry Ford Museum coming up this weekend.
Cool. Have you been there before?
I have not been to the Henry Ford Museum. I've been to Greenfield Village, which is their companion place. But looking forward to just being there and hoping that I have enough time and energy to absorb all the great stuff about Henry Ford Museum, as well as all the amazing stuff we're going to see at the Maker Fair.
Very cool place. Brings back fond memories. Debbie and I, on our honeymoon, came back through Detroit and stopped at both those locations, not for a Maker Fair. Maker Fairs didn't exist back then.
Back in the day. Yeah, I've never been to one. Have you ever been to a Maker Fair?
No. So tell us what you're expecting.
I think it would be better for you to ask me that question next week, because I think I'm expecting the unexpected. No idea, really.
No idea. So this was Kevin's idea?
No, I actually subscribed him to Make Magazine several years ago. Yeah. They just have a lot of cool, inventive things that they feature, and I get their emails regularly, and they're always showing Maker Fairs and all the cool stuff that happens there. So I think it's just a meetup of a lot of inventive people with a lot of cool technology, especially, that they're making use of.
Probably a very appropriate place for that kind of meetup at maybe the birthplace of one of the most important inventions to man ever, right? That's pretty cool.
Yep. So Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. So we'll check back with a report next week. So that's on this weekend's agenda.
Yep, it's on Saturday and Sunday.
Very cool. Have fun. All right, well, we're going to have some other fun because we are continuing our book entitled Eat That Frog, 21 Great Ways to Stop Procrastinating and Get Things Done by Brian Tracy. We have covered chapters 1 through 10, we're going to dive into a couple of very interesting chapters. And again, the invitation to everybody that's listening to follow along, it's a thin book and the commitment is not great. You simply need to read, I don't know, 5 minutes per chapter is about my estimation, unless you really dive in and maybe use the workbook, which is kind of interesting as well. But chapter 11, upgrade your key skills. I highlighted in that second paragraph, a major reason for procrastination is a feeling of inadequacy, a lack of confidence, or an inability in a key area of a task. Think so?
Sure, I can definitely agree with that from personal experience. When you aren't quite sure how to tackle something because you don't really understand it, then you feel inadequate to jump in and do the work. And, you know, Brian Tracy's all about getting started, taking small bites, eating the frog, and, that's hard to push yourself to do when you don't quite know what to do. So yeah. One of the key takeaways I found in the chapter was a quote that said, continuous learning is the minimum requirement for success in any field. And I think he quoted a few coaches and things like that. You know, if you aren't making progress, then you're losing ground. You aren't just staying the same, but you're falling behind. And that's kind of the encouragement in this chapter.
Yep. And then he said, everything is learnable, which I think is interesting. I think people have certainly affinities and maybe lean different ways, but I can tell you from personal experience, this chapter really hit home. I've been doing a home renovation project lately. I've been putting in new floors on the entire first floor, which means a lot of demo. There was three different kinds of flooring and a laminate hardwood type product that we're putting in. With all kinds of nuances to it. So YouTube has really been my best friend, and it truly is the case that you can find almost anything on YouTube. And if you spend enough time with it, and I think the more you watch, the more confidence you get. This is. I totally agree with this. This is you can improve those skill sets which you're lacking, and my wife has really appreciated me doing it right versus, you know, trying to figure this out on the fly. So
I related it to a personal experience as well, Martin. I was reminded of my kids in Suzuki Music and the whole concept behind the inventor of the Suzuki method and everything is that it's your mother tongue. It's something that you can learn. It's not that a certain person is particularly extremely gifted or whatever. It's that they put the time in and they studied and practiced and worked on their skills. And if you put the time in, you can do the same thing. And they have methods, obviously, with Suzuki to do that. But it definitely kind of drilled into you the concept that you're not just born with it or whatever, that you can learn. In that case, to play violin or whatever, but any skill.
Yep. There is a section in this chapter called Three Steps to Mastery, which I thought were kind of interesting. Step one was read in your field for at least 1 hour every day. So that's, I don't know if I could find an hour every day. Now, I probably am one that likes to read and likes to catch up and make sure that I'm staying, you know, up to date on a field. But there are different ways to do that too. One of the ways I do that is listening to podcasts, which is his third step to mastery. Listen to audio programs in your car, because very often I'll listen to a technology podcast or even a ministry podcast that'll kind of keep me up to date, and I'm kind of double, you know, making good use of my drive time to be able to do that. And then his second mastery, which I skipped over, was take every course and seminar available on the key skills that can help you. And maybe that is kind of akin to, you know, watching YouTube videos, because a lot of this stuff is available online or recorded or live streamed or whatever. You don't have to trot all over the country and all the expense related to that. So
one thing I really liked that I found in the workbook, not necessarily in the book itself, was he encouraged you, and he even gave you a chart to work with, to research places to find key media that you can learn from. So maybe it's certain blogs or magazines or whatever, or maybe it's podcasts and things that you can listen to while you're driving, as he suggests. So I never really thought of like being intentional about trying to find those things. Instead, I'm just bombarded with stuff all the time, and maybe I'm not finding all the best stuff or the particular stuff in the area that I need to be learning on. So I thought that was a really good suggestion.
Mm-hmm. That's where, as I was thinking about that, that's where we've talked in the past about personal learning networks, PLNs, and following the right people on Twitter and some trusted resources where you're getting some recommendations versus just this influx of everything. There's certain people that you follow and maybe in a similar field that are helpful. So I think those kind of trusted advisors are real helpful in this case. let's go on to chapter 12.
Yeah, time to talk about identifying your key constraints. And again, this one was real insightful for me because a lot of times I'm always focused on getting it done. And I don't take a step back and look at what's maybe hindering me getting something done.
And sometimes, yeah, you're so busy that you're not, as you say, you're not looking at that. The kind of the intriguing part of this is he applies the 80-20 rule to this whole concept of constraints. He says the 80-20 rule also applies to the constraints in your life and in your work. This means that 80% of the constraints, the factors that are holding you back from achieving your goals are internal, which I thought was also interesting. Again, I guess that's the good news, right? That in some cases you have control over some of those constraints, and you can either have make some changes or have conversations about changing those that they aren't out of your control.
Right. It's either something you're doing that's kind of choking down the process, or something within your own company would fall into that internal as well. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. I was doing a very repetitive task in Excel, had 30 different spreadsheets to create. And as I was working through it, I was typing a few things in and doing different steps. And I was like, you know, if I copied that to the clipboard, I could cut out typing it each time. I could just paste. And so I refined it. I got rid of that choke point. And then I was doing something else that was just an extra step that was kind of redundant. And I realized that and refined it. So if you just kind of stop and pay attention to what you're doing, some of those things might just naturally fall out. And it did improve my speed. And since I had to do it 30 times, it helped me a lot.
Mm-hmm. I know the project you're talking about, and you did the exact same project last year, and I think there's a lesson there too. So if there's something that, you know, is kind of that time sucker, that constraint, that you can take some steps in the interim, you know, maybe you make it a separate project to say, I don't want to do this ever again, or, you know, we're going to automate this. And that's often what we do in the Senate office, is we try and figure out how to be as good stewards as possible with the data and with the technology. Let technology work for you. But you do have to intentionalize that, and you have to kind of take a look at it and say, hey, what can I do to make this better so that I don't have to, I don't have to spend the time, with this thing that's gonna hold me back or hold us back.
Yeah, I'm guessing people in the audience can relate to this, but one of my husband's favorite things to say about computer programmers, people that automate things, is that they're really lazy people.
Right.
And so, yeah, if you fall into that category, consider it a good thing that you're lazy and that you want to make things easier and not have to waste your time on them the next time.
And you've got to evaluate how long it's going to take you to automate it, too. You know, at the end of the day, it may be just quicker to do it over and over again, mm-hmm. But there are options.
Right. Moving into the workbook side of things, Martin, he really makes you kind of intentionalize this, give really strong thought to these things. He identifies several areas: your business and career, family and relationships, money and investments, health and fitness. So for each of those four areas, Brian Tracy challenges you to consider your single most important goal and what determines your speed. And are there internal things that you can change or eliminate to make you go faster, basically, to mm-hmm. get rid of those choke points? And then look at it on the external side, too. You know, are there external constraints that are hindering you getting it done? And, you know, focus on one of those things and make it better. So just really, again, kind of take that step back, spend a moment thinking about, oh, this really is slowing me down. If I just had this resolved, that process would go a lot faster and make it happen.
Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, that's one of the reasons we even do this podcast, is to try and find those intersections where technology can speed up some of the processes that enable us to do more ministry rather than, you know, some of these other things that could be that where technology could help. I think that's one of the reasons that I think technology is a blessing, that God's given that to us and we should use it as such. So, interesting stuff. The last sentence of the chapter says, often alleviating a key constraint or limiting factor is the most important frog you could eat at that moment. So yeah, he's basically calling it a frog. So interesting chapters.
And it's so fun to sit back and reflect on the fact that it got done so much better because of eating that frog. So
right, and you only have to do that once.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I think it is time to move on to our picks of the week. And you're going to be talking about one of those productivity enhancers, time savers.
One of those productivity enhancers and the word love, because I love some of these things that can make Trello, my BFF, even better, get rid of some of the constraints on me. So yeah, shout out to Roman Johnson. He emailed me this week with a link to an article from MUD. I can't remember what the acronym stands for, but that website, which is a really great website, I just can't, it's escaping me what the name of the website is because I've got an acronym in front of me. Anyway, the article is titled 8 Trello Browser Extensions You'll Love and Cannot Live Without. And Roman said he knew that I was a Trello fan from listening to the podcast, and he thought I might find something useful in this article, and he was so correct about that. These are browser extensions, not Trello power-ups, which is kind of the internal thing that Trello provides to business class users to enhance the Trello functionality. And there's a lot of those power-ups available, but these are actually Chrome browser extensions. So they work within the Chrome browser. And in the article, he'll tell you kind of throughout the article if it works in other browsers or if there are parallel type things that you could use with Firefox or Opera even, I think he mentions at one point, or whatever. The two that I found in the article that I just fell in love with are called List Layouts for Trello and Ultimello. So we're going to make Trello mellow, basically. The list layouts solves a problem that I struggle with all the time. And if you're a Trello user, you are probably aware of this. Trello organizes things to do in what's called list, and these are vertical lists. They can get pretty long, but you can also have multiple lists side by side. So your list can go on, and they scroll way out to the right side of your screen. And I am just not a fan of horizontal scrolling. I want to see what I have in the screen that I'm looking at, and list layouts allows the list in Trello to be stacked on the one screen that you're looking at rather than having to scroll to the right. So you get rows of list in your view. And then some of the lists that maybe are longer, you have a slider bar to scroll down in those lists. And that just fits my work style a whole lot better than scrolling to the right all the time. So I was very excited to add that browser extension. The other one, Ultimello, comes with not one, but three great things that you can do with it. First of all, you can sort your list. And that may seem like a simple thing, like you could sort list all the time, but it gives you different values that you can sort your list on, like the titles or the labels or the due dates or just different characteristics of the cards in your list. But what's really cool about it is it's only in the browser. It's not affecting the actual order of the cards in the list unless you press a magic button and tell it to apply it to the list. So because I collaborate on a lot of these boards, it would be real confusing to my coworkers if I went out and changed the order of all the cards all the time. But with Ultimello, I can do some sorting and bring things to the top that I'm looking for without affecting anyone else's view of the board. So that's pretty sharp. Another thing Ultimello does is it counts the cards. It gives you a count at the top of each list. And this was interesting, Martin. Today we were in our change management meeting where we track all the changes to our systems. And when we're done with them, we move them over to done. And I noticed that, I want to say there were like 210 items in done. So that was a pretty cool thing just to know how many things we've completed on that change management board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then finally, it has something that's labeled as Beta, although I think it's been out for a while. It has the ability to add parent-child relationships with cards. So you can relate cards to one another, and it adds those linkages automatically for you in the card description. I spend a lot of time linking cards together in the card description using manual links. So this was really cool to me, the concept of parent-child. So I have to do some more experimenting with it, but I really do appreciate Roman sending me that article. And if you're a Trello user, you might like some of the other items in the article as well. There are 8 different browser extensions listed, so I'm only highlighting 2 of them, so go check it out for yourself.
Cool. That parent-child relationship one is very intriguing to me because there are many of our cards, I would assume in many people's projects, are related to one another. And it's real helpful to connect them versus mm-hmm. just kind of the static link that you can put in there now. So that's pretty cool.
Right. I think it also shows siblings. So mm-hmm. if you have a parent and you make multiple ones a child, when you're right. on the child record, you can see the siblings of that.
So, nice. Cool. Yeah, and I was going to mention, and you mentioned it, that because it's just an extension, it's really just your view unless you want to apply it so that you're not messing anybody else's up. So that's cool. And I read that some of these extensions are not just for Chrome either. I think there's Firefox as well. So you're kind of locked into, you know, sticking with a browser. They're not cross-browser friendly. So you have to, if you really are in love with these, you have to kind of make a commitment and say, I'm always in Chrome, which I think for the most part, both you and I are. So,
yep, not a problem.
Hey, a little pro tip for you. If you want a horizontal scroll, trackpads work really well.
Oh, I'd have to be a pro with a trackpad, and that I am not. So I'll leave that to you, Martin.
All right. I've got a little tool called GoodSync that I'm really excited about. I've been using it for a while now, and it's something that we're rolling out here in the office a little bit for people who need to do synchronization or backup of all kinds of content to all different kinds of locations. GoodSync is a little application that runs on your computer. It can run on Mac and PC. They also actually have Android and iOS versions. But basically, it backs up and syncs files from one location to another on either a schedule or on file creation or change. And it syncs to all kinds of different locations. I'm just going to pull up my copy here, and you can sync to GoodSync's own servers, network shares, Google Drive, Amazon S3 or Cloud Drive, Dropbox, Box.com, Backblaze, OneDrive, Azure, your own FTP site, Google Docs, just a whole, and those are the big ones. But you can select which folders, which files, as I mentioned, which schedules to do hidden files or not, do subfolders. And really, so far, in my experiences, it has worked really, really well. So if you're looking for some kind of backup solution or file syncing solution, GoodSync, which has a free version. There are some premium features if you want to do some of the more advanced stuff. But so far, I've been real happy with just the regular version. It's really simple to use. You just create a new job. You say, is it going to be a synchronization or a backup? You select your source. You select your destination, and then you know the different options that that you need. And I've got it looking at a number of different folders and shooting up to OneDrive, and it'll actually archive things that get deleted for, you know, put it into a trash bin for 30 days or 60 days. It'll do versioning, all kinds of stuff. So this has been around a while, I think since 2009, but they've just kind of revved it recently, and if you're looking for some kind of synchronization or backup solution, this might be worth taking a look at. It's called GoodSync, GoodSync.com. Good stuff.
Yeah, sounds like a great option. I know some people live just in the Google ecosystem, and being able to sync with the Google Drive is really important, and obviously comes packed in with Google Drive, but I love the versatility of being able to put your files in a lot of different places. That's really cool.
Yep. All right, let's move on to community feedback. I'll dive in here. We keep our eye on the Wells Tech board, our Google group, I should say, and Joshua Shanick, Director of Technology at Kettle Moraine Lutheran High School, sent out a note advertising that he's got 10 used smart boards for sale. These are SB685s. They also include a projector mounting arm for an Epson and a projector. They're approximately 10 years old, so they got a little age on them, but he says they're in good working condition. You got to pick them up in Jackson, Wisconsin. He's asking $150 for each, which includes the board, the arm, and the projector, and he says he would consider offers. To me, that sounds like actually a very good deal. I know some schools are moving away from them because of one-to-one computing environments, but I think there's still use for smart boards, and this sounds like a great deal if you're in the market for them. So get in touch with Josh. And if you're not on the Wells Tech Google group, that is something you should correct right away. Go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and click on the, what does the icon look like, Sally? I don't even have it.
It has people on it.
People on it. It is the people icon. It is, yep, three people, a big person and two little people. Click on that and sign up for our Google group, and you'll get all a lot of people on there, and it's a great place to ask your technology questions, so take advantage of that.
There's been some ongoing chatter lately about streaming your worship service and equipment, and people have given some great feedback, so check it out for that reason, if you're looking for that. All right, then just wanted to highlight a few articles from our Wells Google Schools group. I shouldn't say our, because it's really just a group that we have the privilege of being a part of, not something that we run from Wells Tech by any means. But it's actually moderated by our friend Jason Schmidt, among others, and kind of grew out of some MLC classes around Google products in the classroom, and has a huge following, and there's always people sharing great stuff and asking questions and sharing answers and things. A couple of things that were shared this week from our MLC professor friends: James Karlofsky shared an article, Five Things to Know About the New Google Classroom, and they are shaking it up a bit. So shakeuplearning.com has a blog post out there, and I think you're going to be happy with the changes that are there. But if you use Classroom for your education efforts last school year, you need to kind of get up to speed on what you're going to see when you log in again, because things are a bit different. Also from MLC professor Rachel Feld, who also happens to be a Wells Tech semi-regular classroom correspondent. On her summer break, she is listening to Teach with Tech conference videos. She says the videos are only available through July 29th, but some really great professional development in the conference videos that are out there. I saw a follow-up conversation. It's hard to get access if you didn't have a ticket to the free conference in advance, but Rachel can help you out if you need to get access. The key is they're only available through July 29th, so definitely jump in there within this week if you want to listen to any of those conference events. And then finally, over on Wells Google Schools, there was a question from Scott Georgeson. He says, could anyone with experience recommend a Chromebook cart? We have two that open on both sides and fit 12 on each side. For getting an additional cart this year, I'd much prefer one that opens on one side. Fitting 20 or more would be ideal, and cost-effective is always a plus. And he actually got two great responses and some other people chipping in with their experience. Well, three there, I think. One from Kirk Gosdick, where he recommended that AVERC30i Plus, a 30-device intelligent cart. And he says to get in touch with Chris Hunt, our friend from Troxel, which is part of the ShopWells program.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Willems over at Lakeside Lutheran High School recommends the Lock and Charge. And he says, let's see, the highest quality equipment on the market. So he highly endorses Lock and Charge carts. And then there's a few other comments. And finally, John Dorn, I believe he's down at Illinois Lutheran High School, ordered the Mobile Lab Economy Smart Charge Cart. And he included a link to that. So we'll have all three of those cart links in our show notes in case anyone listening is in the market for a Chromebook cart.
Yeah, a whole new ecosystem is developed in our schools now that one-to-one computing is there in Chromebooks. You got to get these things charged up and stored and carted around, and some new furniture shows up in classrooms these days.
Right,
so.
And you know, interesting things that people care about. One person said, "I really like the way this one the cords attach to the dividers, so the cords don't end up everywhere."
Right,
so,
right.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of different struggles around keeping all those Chromebooks charged up.
Yep. Very good. Thanks, everybody, for your feedback. Again, go to wellstech.wells.net, and across the top, we have all our social media connections. You can email us, wellstech@wells.net. Send us a voicemail. There's a little blue bar that appears on the right side of your screen if you go to our show notes page. But show notes page is the place to go for all that stuff. Sally, do we have a video of the week?
We do, and it ties to my pick of the week, Martin. I did some searching on Trello Chrome extensions, and I found a video that was very popular out on YouTube. It's titled "My Three Favorite Chrome Extensions for Trello." And as it turns out, Amit, who recorded the video, likes the two that I liked as my pick of the week. His third choice.
But you love them. Yes.
I do. I love them. He says they're his favorites. His third choice was one that allows you to see the text of the labels on the front of the card. And Trello, I actually baked that in. So that's now part of Trello.
Oh, right,
you don't
right.
need an extension or anything. You just click on the colored label and it'll expand to show the text of the label. It's kind of a toggle. So you can listen to what Amit has to say on that one, but skip on past and you'll find him demonstrating. So you can watch how the other two extensions, let's see, the first one was called List Layouts and then Ultimello, how both of those behave. He demonstrates it quite well.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. So show notes page for that as well. Sally, we are going to continue our theme this summer, Eat That Frog, with chapters 13 and 14 next week. Put the pressure on yourself and motivate yourself into action. These sound a little bit stressful to me. We'll see how that goes. Right. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. And we pray that this is useful to you. And if we can make things better, we are always welcome to suggestions. Please let us know. So have a great week and eat a frog. Bye-bye.